step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.
201 on the Matt Thomas Show, Sports Talk 790. We are happy to be joined for the very first time on this radio program by the general manager of your Houston Rockets. And Rafael, I got to be honest, I got hoodwinked for a second. Somebody named Rockets GM on Twitter started following me, and I'm like, oh, cool, Rafael's following me on Twitter. And then it's not your account, and he was putting a bunch of crazy things out there. So, whew, I'm glad I didn't retweet his mumbo-jumbo. How are you?
Sorry about that, and I'm good, thank you.
Hey, I got to be honest, did you really not watch it as it was unfolding?
Yeah, I really did not watch it as it was unfolding.
What did you watch instead? Were you just like sitting in the office, maybe talking to your wife? I mean, because I was so ridiculously nervous yesterday. I couldn't even think straight for about a half an hour.
Yeah, I was anxious. I don't know about nervous, but I was definitely anxious because you just want to know the result. But no, I'm not at home. I'm in Chicago at the combine, so I was in my hotel room and I was just reading a book. So that's what I was doing.
Damn, that sounds like a cool cucumber right there. Because once we found out that the Rockets were going to be top four, that's when I really lost it. And then, so who did someone tell you? Did text? Did you turn it on? I mean, how did you find out you were getting the second pick?
Yeah, I had set an alarm for I think 7:58. Like I figured out. I don't remember exactly what the time was, but I figured out when. So like you know, obviously, like everyone else, I'm familiar with how they roll out the picks. They go to the top four and then they like take a commercial break and just do all that kind of stuff. So that seemed extraordinarily not fun. And so because the way they do it, unless you're number one, you're a little bit disappointed. If you're in our shoes, I guess if you're like maybe the 10th or 11th pick and then you and your name isn't called, then maybe you're really excited, right, for six picks. And you get to four, and it's still great. I don't quite know how it works. But I think, you know, the problem is that, like, as every pick goes, then you're just, yeah, everybody except for one person is disappointed. And so I just didn't want to do any of that. So I was in my room. I read a book. I set my alarm for the time when I knew it would be, you know, 30 seconds after everything was posted.
And You got to go see Swin Cash's her reaction when New Orleans got the ninth pick. She was generally pissed. I mean, she didn't even hide it. So that was worth the lottery in itself to see how mad she was. But enough about them. So there's so many questions that we just don't know answers to. First of all, what's the experience like right now at the Combine being actively in charge of the roster as compared to previous years where you've gone up there and just kind of work with Daryl and other folks? What has it been like the last couple of days for you?
Fine. Yeah, I think it's, you know, it's busier. There's, you know, it's a natural function of having more responsibility, but also of we just have a little bit smaller group than we had. You know, the group that we had a year ago had been together for so long. And, you know, I mean, because, you know, it wasn't just, we didn't just lose Daryl. We also lost Monty.
Right.
And so we'd kind of, you know, we knew each other really well. There was extraordinarily high level of trust, you know, and just, hey, I'm going to do this or I feel like doing this. What do you want to do? And you could just kind of parse it out and everybody knew exactly what they're doing. And, you know, it was easy. And so I think we'll get back to that. And it's not like it's, you know, it's not the hardest. I don't know what the hardest job in the world is, but I know this is not it. You know, so it's not, and nothing's unpleasant, but it's just, you know, so it's just a lot busier. There's a lot more to do for myself and for Eli. We, you know, we're just kind of trying to make sure we cover off everything in the near term, just to make sure that that everything's done kind of the way we want it done, and it's been done in the past. And, you know, and as we work with this current group and everybody grows in the roles, it'll get a little bit more seamless. But overall, it's just fine. You know, it's again, what we're doing isn't that difficult. We just, you know, it's just all about making sure you do the work, making sure you're really thorough. Yeah, that's what we're doing.
Cade Cunningham has said that he was only going to go visit the team that had the top pick. How much scheduling can you do face-to-face, Zoom, workouts with anybody that you might consider at number two? I mean, what are the rules behind that, and how interested are you in seeing these guys firsthand before you ultimately make that pick?
Yeah, I think we can have people come into our gym, and so I think I expect that we'll have everybody. I mean, we've already scheduled a ton of guys, and I expect we'll see everybody in person.
I know that the question was asked to you yesterday about whether you would consider moving the second pick. And look, everything's going to change in the next 30 days or so. Have you looked at the history of what it's like and what it would take for a team like yourself to move the first, second, or third round pick? You know, obviously a top three or four selection. Does history come into play in that, or is it just, you know what, if you hear a deal that you just can't refuse, forget about history, I got to make that move?
Yeah, I think it's the latter, because it's one thing if you're trading picks for picks. I think it's potential to, it's not at all crazy to try and use historical precedent to figure out what you think. If you were trading, for example, the first pick in a lottery this year for future picks, maybe that's apples to apples. But if, as soon as the players become a component to it, like current players then it's not apples to apples. And so, I think it's pretty fundamental. Like, I think you would always, you should always be willing to listen. Why wouldn't you? It's my view that no one is by definition untradeable. The reality is that some people are so good and so reliable and, you know, all the adjectives you want to pile on, that it might not be feasible for another team to put together a trade package that you would do.
Mm-hmm.
And so then those players might de facto be untradeable. But, you know, to say to somebody, to another team, I would never trade this guy, that just seems silly. Like, you know, people change, lives change, iterations change. Very, very few players, start and end their careers with one franchise. That's just a nature. And that includes people who are beloved of franchises and make their homes in cities and, you know, are godchildren to people's kids. You know, it's not a horrible thing. But the point is that, like, I do pride myself on being somebody who is pretty straightforward and I don't say things I don't mean. So I think part of the job is to say we're open for business and we're willing to talk to anybody and listen to anybody about anything. Doesn't mean we'll do it, but I'm not trying to foreclose the discussion before it starts.
The general manager, Rafael Stone, with us here on the Matt Thomas Show at 208. Rafael, you've got a young man by the name of Jalen Green who spent last year in the G League. They call him a G League freshman. Look, you've watched a lot of games. We all have. It's a defense-optional league. How much does that play into a player in evaluation when you know that, frankly, that league is professional, it's high-scoring, it's running a lot of different plays from a lot of different pro teams, but needless to say, there's very few 87, 85 games. I mean, does that influence your decision about the player, knowing that league is very much high octane, up and down the floor as fast as humanly possible?
I'm definitely not going to talk about Jalen Green or any individual player at this stage. But I'm happy to talk about the leagues. I think one of the challenges that you have in the draft, and it doesn't just apply to G League, it applies to kids coming from overseas too, whether it's Spain or, you know, Turkey or Germany or Israel or Australia or whatever, is leagues aren't apples to apples. And none of the professional leagues are apples to apples with the NCAA. And so part of the challenge is trying to evaluate players who played in different circumstances. That also exists, by the way, just within the NCAA, if you think about one player who maybe played with amazing teammates and another player who didn't, or one player who played in a very slow down system, a very methodical system, and one who played in one that is wide open. It's just a challenge, and it exists. I think, as it relates to players entering the draft from professional leagues, they've been playing as grown men, and that's different. And there are some things that are just much, much harder to do if you're playing against a 28-year-old than if you're playing against, 19, 20-year-olds.
Yeah.
The flip side is that, spacing might be better. It might be more in transition. There might be other opportunities presented. Your teammates are going to be better too, because they're grown men. Fundamentally, this isn't different from a lot of people, but we're in a human business. It's not, as much as people, as I believe analytics are useful and numbers are useful in any business, it's also, this is a human business. You're investing in human beings and how they're going to change and evolve at very, very young, early years in their lives. And that is risky, and it is impossible to numerically calculate. I'm very cognizant of that. And so, so we'll just do the best we can do.
All right, before I let you run, you mentioned the staffing. Gerson's in Minneapolis. You've got Monty in Sacramento. Daryl's in Philadelphia. So you know through a lot of your relationships here. Are you anxious?
Don't forget Arturis. Arturis in Chicago.
Man, I forget. You know what? There's so many of them, I forget. So are you anxious to make deals with these guys, or are you a little hesitant, a little bit of combination? Because you know what's going through their minds because you work side by side with them for many, many years.
I'd say neither. I'm way too selfish. I think all of us are, as it relates to our jobs, to care about, the guy on the other side, right? Like, so at the end of the day, we just want to do deals that are going to help further our franchise. In some respects, I think doing deals with all of those guys is easier, in that, I'm not at all worried about offending them. It's really easy. You just call up and you're like, hey, this is the concept. Are you interested? And so it does, because we know each other so well, we work together so long, that makes it easier. There's not the, I got to choose my words carefully because I don't want this person to think I'm, trying to get over or whatever the case is. Right. So I think in that sense, it's easier, but deals are hard to do in the NBA. I mean, it's a zero sum game. And so everybody's trying, in order to do it, both sides have to think they're winning. And those don't happen a lot. And so, so I'd say to the extent that it's anything, it's maybe slightly easier just because the little feeling out process,
is over,
doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. But the barrier to doing deals exists, which is again, that both teams have to look at the same deal and think they're winning it. And so that, that's why not a lot of deals get done.
So you could hang up on Monty and he wouldn't take offense to it too quickly.
No, Monty's like the best person in the universe.
I love Monty. I want to make a deal with Monty. I'm not even a general manager of an NBA team, and I want to make a deal with Monty. So, enjoy your time in Chicago. I know you're going to be besieged by, what are you going to do? Keep the pick? Who are you going to pick? This is a great time. It's frankly, as you know, Rafael, this is very foreign territory for all of us. I don't even remember the last time we had a draft party. So we're going to have one. It's going to be a great experience. And whatever you do, I'm sure good times will be ahead for the Houston Rockets. We thank you for the visit and safe travels back to our city soon.
Appreciate it, man. Take care of yourself.
All right. That's Rafael Stone with us here on Sports Talk 790. 2:14 is our time. If you want to comment on anything that he had to say, 713-212-5790. Also, the Astros made a roster move. We'll tell you about that in a moment. 2:14, Sports Talk 790.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.